Zach.
This is to call the work session to order and like to have roll call, Peggy.
Sawyer.
Here.
Rumagoo.
Here.
Busby.
Here.
Beamer.
Here.
Swanson.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
And Salen.
On his way, we hope.
Tardy.
Yeah. For additional work session items not listed on the agenda, I'll just name a couple or three just to get them out there and to work on maybe at a later date. One is Rob Connell's, our city attorney's, concern for approval as to form regarding city ordinances. And that would require an amendment to the council rules. And perhaps we can do that at a later date. But wanted to keep that out in the front. The next is to remind all of you on emails, in case you don't know this, that when you send an email to council, it automatically will blind copy Peggy and now Spencer.
Yeah. They aren't really blind.
It's not
well,
really
blind, but, yeah. Just, but you're not going to know.
Part of the group.
Part of the group, right.
Yeah,
part of the group.
I knew Peggy had that for about the past 6 months to a year now, hasn't
yeah.
it been?
I think it's been a...
So we don't need to send you two then.
No, right. They don't want two of everything.
I don't even need them.
Well, I know you were a CC or copy just because you need to keep the records.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, if you weren't aware, it doesn't. If you're as ignorant as I am on the internet, when I didn't see the name and I just went council, I just assumed it was just Bob and Peggy.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I do, Sandy. Sometimes, even though I know that Peggy gets it when we CC the council, I still include her in case someone wants to reply back to Peggy and they know that she received the first one. So it's just kind of sometimes I do that just for your benefit. In case you want to get something from someone else.
Okay. Now it is time to go to our first. With you.
I would like to make sure that we get on the agenda sometime in the fairly near future, going over the properties that we own. We talked about putting some of them on the market, particularly the vacant properties, and I would. That might be time to ask for permission now. I'm going to be gone the second meeting in February and the first meeting in March. I'm going to Australia.
Oh, whoa.
So we could have it on site.
Right. We'll follow you.
I like the on-site version.
Anyway, if we could do it before that, it would be handy. But I'd like to be there when this
when
is discussed.
This is
so if we can't do it before, maybe afterwards.
Afterwards.
And if you want to have a vote now for giving me my permission.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have our permission.
Okay, right. Good. And that's it. And as soon as you, if the first thing on the agenda
miss
is
up his plane tickets.
Selection of the
planning commission vacancy.
Okay. I am going to recuse myself for a very valid reason. I have one of the candidates manages a considerable amount of property for me, and so I would obviously have a great conflict.
With that, you're recused.
I'll be back. You'll be able to find me sometime when you're done. Send out a search party.
And anyone else? As we.
I'll leave my coat for.
Right. Do we need to mention that we know one or two of the candidates?
It never hurts.
I know one or two.
I just think it's if you have a conflict.
Well, I think it was more a bias. It's not a
conflict,
but it's a bias, which is still a valid reason, like as Dick did. So. Well, I know Lee only because she was participating in a lot of the council issues a couple of years ago in the business license ordinance, but that was really the extent of which we had an interaction. So.
Yes, and I know you three, but not. Only in working on other things, not on the planning. So
I know Bob, and I know Lee, and I know a couple of the other ones just because I know that they've been involved in things.
Right.
Through that.
Well, I know Bob and Lee, and Suzanne, I get the last name.
Right, Dalton.
Dalton, right. Yeah.
If you don't know their name, you don't know them that well.
Right. I recognize some of them. I don't know.
I've met some of them also.
I do want to say that Suzanne Dalton, one of the candidates, is not here, but she has left a phone number for a phone interview. And Dustin Capri will not be available, but still wants to be considered. And with that, I thought I would take you in the order of how it is in our packet. And
Sandy, were Dustin and Suzanne, would they be available tonight, or are they just going to make it at all tonight?
I think Suzanne will be available for us during this work session between noon and 2. We can add a phone number for us to do it.
Dustin,
He's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just not here.
Okay. Thanks.
Here. So we'll start with you, Bob. Do you want to come up here when we talk to you? And how we've done this in the past is that each of the council members has a copy of your application.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of go around the table and ask if there's any elaboration or anything else we'd like to ask you. And try to keep it short and to the point.
Sure.
Okay. So, Dean, I'll start with you. Did you have anything to you wanted to ask further from other
Well, than? You kind of talked about it a little bit in your application here, but I guess the big question I always have is, what have you done to prepare yourself for this position?
Well, it's primarily the advisory committee. It's, as I said in there, I got involved in the geologic hazard ordinance change and the vacation rental ordinance change, and was quite involved in both of those and very much interested and testified in both of them. And it became apparent to me that a lot of interesting stuff went on the planning side and the planning commission. So I applied for the advisory committee and was appointed about 2 years ago.
Have you seen how much paperwork is put through the planning commission every week?
I do. I read it all.
Okay. I mean, it's quite a lot. It's
yeah.
More than we get.
No, the packets that come, well, it's not every 2 weeks. Are usually very comprehensive. A lot of it is background material that can just be skimmed, but the substantive memos I try to take a look at. As a matter of fact, I accuse Derek of putting in a typo or two just to see if I'm paying attention, and I usually catch it.
I think Wanda does that as well. So you're familiar with Wanda's minutes then? We got familiar during the infrastructure task force.
Can I interrupt?
I'm just joking about it.
Can I interrupt for a minute? A topic that maybe wrong. Should we have Derek in here?
Derek said that he would be available if you had any questions, but that he needs to be in his office unless you need him.
Okay, as long as you considered it.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, that was just a. Mm. You have to respond.
Okay. Anything other that you wanted to ask, David?
No, actually, I thought the application was pretty detailed, so I think he pretty much answered all my questions there. So,
Rob?
What do you see as the Planning Commission's role in spurring economic development for the community?
Well, the North End Urban Renewal proposal, I think, would go a long way. There's a lot of work that could be done right in the downtown area here that would really improve the look and feel and I think attract some serious business. Of course, there's the in South Beach, you know, there's still some land that could be put to very productive economic use. And I think some of the actions that the Planning Commission has taken already, including the transportation plan amendments, should help to spur that. But it's obvious that something needs to be done downtown the 101 corridor, and that would be very interesting to participate in.
Mark?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. Is it customary to wait until everybody's?
No, because you can if you want to listen, certainly. Well, but if you, no, then okay. Tonight we
right.
Will.
Your choice. Oh,
yeah, your choice.
Well, thank you all.
Yeah, thank you. Next is Lee Hardy. And I've seen you a lot on the ordinance. Is there anything you would like to add to what you have written?
No, not really. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Okay, we'll start again with you, Dean.
Well, I guess I'll ask the same question I asked of Bob. What have you done to prepare for this position?
I've been a participant on the Citizens Advisory Committee to the Planning Commission for the last year. And as far as other participation with the city, I have worked with the Business License Ordinance Task Force, and I've been fairly vocal when I felt it was appropriate.
I remember when we went through that at council.
Yes.
I'm fine. Thank you. I'll listen to whatever else says.
No, I'm pretty much familiar with Lee's background and what she's done, so I would have a question.
Okay.
Well, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Bob. What do you see as the Planning Commission role in spring economic development?
I think that the Planning Commission has the tools and the wherewithal to probably effectively analyze the resources that you've got here that could lead to economic development. I've got a process in place that's fairly objective, rational, and fair in terms of assessing what's feasible and what is not feasible from the standpoint of transportation issues, geographical issues, geological issues, and I think that the city would do well to perhaps continue to take a broader look at the resources that they've got in terms of available land and infrastructure, and then expand on those that can be expanded cost effectively.
Okay. Mark?
Good.
You good? Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next is William Hutbacher. Did I pronounce
my formal name?
Bill. Okay. I hope
I
pronounced
my driver's license name right.
Yes. Okay, great. And again, same routine. Okay.
You've heard the question. What have you done to prepare for the position?
Well, I've spent a lot of time I was in the Coast Guard for 28 years. Even though I was prevented throughout my career from really participating in things like planning commissions or school boards or anything like that, I made sure wherever I went that I was taking an active role as much as I could. That's learning about things, doing the homework necessary, and voting, participating in advisory groups. I have not done that specifically here in Newport. I've been here since 2006. But I've always, I am very active in volunteering. I volunteer for the Newport Food Pantry, cardiac rehab unit at the hospital, and I take all these things, any position that I get the opportunity to contribute to the vitality of the community, I do that, and I'm willing to do all the homework involved. And I've heard the first thing I did, it was probably, I said, first I need to look at what does the municipal code say about the planning commission? So I did that. I've also attended various planning commission meetings to see what's going on there. One of my neighbors is a current member of the planning commission, so I had asked him about what was involved, and he said, a lot of homework. And I'm always willing to do my homework. So I would bring that to the table.
The packets are about you thicker.
I believe it.
Thank you.
And Laura, are you fine?
I'm fine. Thank you. Glad for your opening statement.
David?
No, pretty much.
All right.
I've got applications for
proceeding. Yeah. Well, we passed Ralph.
That's all right. You can come back to me. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
Given that you said you haven't had a lot of experience with advisory bodies, so I wonder if you can think of an approach you would take when you have perhaps a couple of people that have opinions that just aren't going to budge. So
okay.
What sorts of techniques might you use for compromise or trying to find that compromise?
Okay, no, that's a very good question. The other thing I would add, when I was in the Coast Guard, I did have a lot of I was in a regulatory corps, part of the Coast Guard, the Marine Safety Program. We had dealt with a lot of citizen input, including in Alaska, we had a very strong Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council that was formed after the Exxon Valdez. I was commanding officer of the Marine Safety Office in Valdez. I had to continually deal with them. That was a 19-member council with 19 different opinions. And I had to always go and try to figure out what was important to each of those people. Try to look at that, look at what I had to deal with in terms of laws, policies, etc., and try to work in those various opinions to formulate what decision I should come to.
Great, thanks for that.
Okay.
And I'll ask you the same question you heard already three times or twice. What role do you see the Planning Commission playing in the economic development?
Well, I think they just need to be, they need to be there to be able to listen to all the citizens and to try to develop something that they can maintain a vibrant growth pattern for the city. That's bottom line for me.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And again, thank you all for applying. Yes. This is great. Our next one we have is Suzanne Dalton, which we're to call, so we'll, can I pass her over to Dustin Capri, who is also gone, and then that takes us to Michael Franklin. Hello. And we will start with you.
How's your dad?
Yeah. My dad's doing good.
He's
doing
very good. While.
Yeah.
How are your sisters?
Yeah. Yes. Everyone's doing great. Mother, yeah.
It's a family
reunion. I do have a bias for the fish tacos. I forgot to throw that out.
Ooh, I should probably leave them. Because I need you to keep coming back.
What have you done to prepare yourself for this position?
My background mainly has been in construction management. So I understand terminology. I understand showing up to a piece of property and assessing locations, the utilities, what needs to happen, what's best, what some things under the rug may be that'll come up and bite you. And I'm good with working with people in the community. I'm mainly just looking for something to start with to be involved in this great community. I see it as kind of an aging community. I came from Bend, where everything's new and everything went gangbusters, and they made a lot of mistakes along the way. It really hurt the community. I mean, the city really, really took an impact, that financial impact by a lot of their choices, and a lot of them weren't for the benefit of the community, as more for to be the first people to do it, had to have roundabouts in a town. Was it necessary? It ended up being a great thing, but it was a big thing to take on and very expensive. So I saw a community make those decisions, and I'd love to be a part of trying to make those decisions as well and hear the voices of the people right now.
So. Great, thank you.
Laura?
Okay. Your comment about the roundabouts in Bend,
yeah.
I had heard that the big trucks can't get through there without going up on a curb.
Yeah, the first couple ones that were built actually had a taller curb on the inside, and yeah, it was kind of a problem. So
yeah.
Then after that, they started making them not so much of a gardenscape on the inside because all the shrubbery just kept getting run over. So
yeah, that made me laugh when
yeah.
I heard that. So I'm from the Bend area.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
David?
No. When I was first on the council, your sister was working for Mike Schoberg.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just asked Peggy what she's doing, and I guess Peggy gave me an update.
She's still at Samaritan.
Yep, still at Samaritan. She's actually been touring, implementing the new computer system that HP put in place. She was trained by HP, and she traveled all over, and she was here for a while at the hospital here training people with the new computer program. So,
good for her.
Yeah. She's doing good.
Your question?
Talk about roundabouts?
Yeah.
No, this town doesn't need no room.
Well, I just want you to know, I think it's interesting that the state of Oregon's putting in roundabouts, and the state I came from, they're doing everything possible to get rid of the roundabouts. I ain't bad of ag. I'm a lot longer than
yeah.
Oregon. But anyway.
Well,
and it's weird
because
you see people coming and sliding on ice.
Yeah. We have one roundabout. We're progressing.
Yeah.
We're going backwards.
Same question. What do you see the role of the Planning Commission in spring economic activities?
I mentioned a second ago the aging facilities of the infrastructure of our city. I think in order to build an economy, we need to make sure our infrastructure is there to back it up. So I think some of the largest concerns I'd see the city would have in place, or that this council would have in place, is to address those issues and make sure that we're moving the city in the right direction to be able to prepare for a future economy that's a booming.
Maybe I'd ask the same question. Imagine a situation where you do have a group of people that are planning for the future, trying to figure out how not to make those mistakes. And as I asked the previous applicant, you've got a couple of people that just aren't going to budge, that are opposite poles.
On this council, or?
Say on the planning commission.
Okay.
How would you approach that?
Do every bit of research possible to make sure that if you have two people that aren't able to meet in the middle, make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can to maybe educate them or give them a different perspective to see if you can try to meet that common ground, because that's what is needed, right?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you guys very much. Very nice deal.
Thanks.
And we have another Michael Riggs. You heard all the routines, so
I heard.
Yeah. So.
Same question.
What have I done? like Bob Berman, we're neighbors. I was very involved with the geohazards issue, with the day rental issue. I've applied for this board once previously, 2 years ago, I believe. I'm currently the chair of the Senior Center Advisory Committee. I really admire. We moved here in 2005 because we thought this was an extremely progressive city. For as small as it is to have the things that it does, whether that be the aquarium or the Performing Arts Center and on and on. And I'd like to see if I can continue contributing with that vision so we continue to be that forward-thinking city.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura?
Well, I'm sitting here laughing because somehow I got your name was Bob.
I know you.
Yes. I know Michael. We're on the same committee, and I'm sitting here going, geez.
Yeah, well, I thought you forgot
Michael
me already.
Huh?
I thought you forgot me already.
Yeah. You'll have to pardon me. My New Year started off really wacky, and I haven't recovered yet. So, anyway, I don't have any questions. I was just apologizing for being an idiot.
David?
No. This application is pretty complete.
Yes.
You can probably guess what I'm going to answer.
Well, the Planning Commission, I think, is like the filter. Issues come to it, and it needs to be able to hear both sides of the issues, gather the facts, apply the law, and provide information to the council as the council needs it. There's, I've talked to Laura about this. The 101 corridor, I think, is a significant challenge. I'm not sure. I'd like to see it become a deco area rather than what, unfortunately, it is. So I'd like to participate and help the city move in that direction.
Okay.
I've lost the same question. So what sorts of techniques might you use for consensus building, particularly if you have a couple of people that are pretty opposite about it?
Well, as you probably read in my bio, I have a long history of particularly working in the IRS, of needing to get people together. But I usually find what's effective is to try to listen to somebody and find out really what's driving them, what are they thinking. And sometimes you can move people merely by helping delineate what their position is and how you have common grounds. You may not always be able to get people to agree, but I think if you can get to the heart of what they're driving at, that you have a better chance of succeeding.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, and again, thank you for coming. That takes care of our applicants, except for Suzanne Dawson. And she is available now between noon, I notice it's 12:24 and 2. And a phone number. Do you want to, shall we continue with a phone interview?
She's available.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you put the phone in front of the wrong person.
Let me get it down there, be sure.
Okay.
While you're doing that, I was going to go and check if Derek's around, because I'm going to have some questions for him, and maybe I'll
he
let him.
He said he would come down.
Okay.
Should I go to Buster see him?
Yeah,
I'm trying to get Susan.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. He's in his office, I think.
Okay. It is 5-4.
Wait a second here.
Okay.
I got to.
Oh, good. There is some more than just dialing the number.
Oh, okay. I don't know what I'm doing here. So close that. We'll do this. Oh, good.
Right. Right. 541. 992. 6201. And it's Suzanne Dalton. You said you were there.
You were a chance. Okay, chance.
Sorry.
Did I dial the right number?
992-6201. I mean, oh no, it's 2-6. You did 6-2.
Well, let's interview this person.
All right.
Do I want to be on the what computer?
Okay.
Congratulations, you've just been elected.
Oh, okay.
That would have been hilarious.
How do you see the planning?
Is this poster's burned out?
Okay, it's ringing. It's going to ring. And I think I did it right this time.
Okay.
Oh, well. We lost an opportunity.
How many are we voting for on this?
One. This is the most I've ever seen.
Oh,
this line.
Really? Ever.
Ever. This is. Well, we got this one right, though.
Did I dial the right number?
No, it's the same one. She's not at this one either.
What?
You dialed.
Yeah, you dialed. No, I was.
Okay.
No, she's not at.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 5419922601 is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
I just leave it.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Here it is, let's see.
Oh, hi, Susan. This is Sandy Rimagoo, Mayor of Newport, and we were calling you for your online a la phone interview for the Planning Commission application in which you filled out. There's one other person who couldn't be here either, so you're not the only one. Goodbye.
Oh, well. Try.
Did it end?
Yeah, I think so. But I now, what do I do?
Let me see. Still on. Let me see. We'll end this call.
Derek is here, so if you had questions for Derek.
Oh, there you are. I didn't see. I was looking for you.
Yeah. Well, I know this is the mayor's appointment, but we're trying to give her feedback. So they're all good candidates, but I guess I was looking at the two candidates that have actually served on the advisory committee for the Planning Commission. I mean, they put their time into the process, and I think if I'm going to give any preference at this point, everything else being equal, I'm going to be looking at the two citizen advisory Planning Commission members because they have kind of tried to work their way up. But I really don't have any really preference between Bob or Lee. I know them both to some extent. And I guess, Derek, my question to you was...
Oh, I bet you that's Suzanne Dalton.
She's the third.
Third, Suzanne.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. So that's going to be helpful.
So where do I press?
I'd answer me. I've got a clue.
Susan?
Yes, hello. This is Suzanne.
Okay. Yes. Hi, this is Sandy Rimagoo, Mayor of Newport, calling you. Sorry, we just missed you. Can you hear?
I noticed you called Sandy, so I just called you right back.
Okay, good. Are you ready to answer a few questions based on your application?
I am, but I would prefer if I might be able to just make a couple of comments before questions. I think it'll help you in your process.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just have three things that I want to say. And the first is that I am looking for a way to serve my community, and I'm looking for a match based on my interests and skills, experiences, and something that would fit into my calendar. Okay. The second thing is that I would want you and others to know that I've done my homework, and I really have enjoyed reading the new city manager's report and observations.
Okay.
Especially his comment about being more visible. And the third thing, and this is the thing, Sandy, that I think will help you and others, is that you have six wonderful people wanting to serve. And in looking at who those other people are that are interested in serving, I would suggest to you that, and this is a little untraditional, I'm sure, in your interviews, I would suggest to you that Dustin Capri, who actually I was his principal, I believe would be a very strong contributor. I also have enjoyed serving in an advisory committee capacity and have enjoyed working with that committee and have especially appreciated Bob's contributions. So the essence of my call, or your call to me and your opportunity to let me share, is I think that you have other people than me that are more skilled and talented for this opening.
Okay.
So I want you to consider me for other openings you may have, and I want to wish you the very best in finding the people for the openings that their skills match your needs.
Okay. Well, thank you, Suzanne. That was a wonderful statement you just made. With that, would you care to have questions asked on your application, or would you rather take it as with the information that we have?
You know, Sandy, I don't think that there's a need. I think at this point, I just really want to wish you the best in finding those people that will be a match. I will be happy to consider or to continue serving in an advisory capacity if that's, you know,
okay,
if that's your prerogative.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to be considered for other opportunities.
Okay. Well, thank you. And we wish you a happy new year and hope to see more of you in City Hall.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so.
Wait a minute. Make sure I did it. Okay.
So, in looking at the applications, I left out Dustin as well because he previously served on the advisory committee for the Planning Commission. So I guess, mm-hmm, you know, a lot of well-qualified applicants, everyone has to be an offer. But I guess in looking at who I would at least like to have a preference for, be someone serving on, who has served on the advisory committee for the Planning Commission as kind of a stepping stone, it looks like we have Lee Hardy, Bob Berman, and previously Dustin Capri served on it. I really don't have really any preference between the three, but I think one of those three should at least get it, given they served on the advisory committee previously, or they at least currently are as well. And I don't know, Derek, do you have any input on that issue, or at least what the advisory committee does for the Planning Commission and the background that would they could bring forward to the Planning Commission?
I can certainly share with you the advisory committee was formed when the Planning Commission was asked to do a comprehensive update of the city zoning ordinance. And they serve basically, they are full participants at work sessions. So anything that generally goes before the Planning Commission particularly anything legislative in nature, goes to work sessions, often multiple work sessions first before it goes to an actual hearing, and that's where they really kind of plug in. The Planning Commission felt that even when we got the comprehensive zoning code update finished, that maintaining that group of three additional members of the community to help vet and work through legislative items was very beneficial. And as Councilor Allen points out too, is a great way for folks who are interested in Planning Commission type work to get a sense for how it functions and what its roles and responsibilities are.
How many serve on it right now?
Three.
So there's
three.
Suzanne, Lee, and Bob.
Correct.
And Dustin served previously, and he, how long ago did he leave the advisory committee?
It was, I want to say, maybe a couple years ago.
So all four of them have had that experience. Suzanne obviously has taken herself off, right, off the list, but so that's, I guess that's where I'm looking at. But other than that, I really have no other preference or nothing else to add to the selection process.
You all had in there the only issue you really have to deal with is in your packets, which is to make sure that you have no more than two people in any particular trade. So that's something to keep in mind as you think about the candidates.
Well, that was one of the questions I had about Lee Harda's application. She isn't, because you have two, what look like two contractors? Or
she's a property management realtor.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
One was contractor materials, outside sales. So that really, I don't know whether that was a construction contractor materials or what.
Yeah,
was that?
At this point, I would say the construction side of it's more or less capped out with Jim as the chair and Gary covering that area.
Well, McIntyre retired as parentheses developer. So where does that?
He's a bus driver. That's his current job.
You don't worry about the developer part that he has in parentheses.
Well, that's something he did in the past, but he's currently employed as a school bus driver.
Right. So it's mainly current affiliations.
Right. Absolutely. So,
I mean, they all could have been developers and then. Right. The last year quit, done other things, so we can only consider what they did for a while.
Right.
That's what they're currently doing.
Okay. And, I've forgotten the year that you added the advisory.
They were serving when I arrived in 2009.
Okay.
And so I'm guessing that was, a couple years prior to that. It took a while to do that conference.
Right.
Derek, who served on it the longest? I mean, I guess I'm not trying to select one over another, but I'm trying to be as objective about this as possible. And if who's put the most time into the advisory committee between those three, even though Dustin's left?
It'd be Lee and Bob, and I'm not sure which.
Okay, well, I guess.
In terms of who started first, I
don't recall. Yeah, who's put the most time into it.
Both Lee and Bob worked on the subcommittee that the commission formed to really work out the vacation rental issues, so they put in extra time on that particular.
So between Lee, Bob, and Dustin, Lee and Bob probably put in more time than Dustin overall on the advisory committee, in your estimation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that kind of, at least for me, that narrows it down to two people, but I really, other than that, I'm not really sure how else to select between those two, at least from my perspective.
From my perspective, I honor and understand that people have served on the advisory committee and they're given consideration, but I like the new blood idea, and so I would like somebody new entirely on the planning commission that has fresh ideas, new ways to look at things. That's what I'm shooting for.
So who are you thinking of?
The three I liked was Hutmacher, Franklin and Rickus, and I think Michael Franklin, given his, frankly, his youth. We can keep him on there for a while. No, I just liked his personality and his views, and the others were good too, but I just like the new blood idea.
Anyone else? And if not?
Derek, do you have anything you'd like to add in terms of what you think we should be looking for that matter, not looking for?
Typically, you might want to think about where they live in the community, not get too many people loaded up, like, say, in the same street or something, so you have a little bit of diversity there. It'd be nice to have a female on the planning commission. We do not currently have one. That's something to think about as well. I mean, just to have, again, some diversity on the commission. Those are the types of things that, and then different backgrounds, so that you have diversity in backgrounds. Not everybody's coming at it from the same professional perspective. Those are some of the things that they do. And then whatever you heard in your interviews.
Right. So we don't have a business person, as far as I can tell. Oh, as far, you know, a local business. I'm not saying this correctly. I mean, the contractor and those kinds
well,
of
people. Well, we've got a restaurant manager.
But not on the council. Or on
oh,
the
not
restaurant.
On there currently.
Yeah.
So, Sandy, I hear and appreciate what David has said and also what Laura said. If one were to be swayed by the idea of who's been on the planning commission and sort of practice up, you know, obviously we'd look at a bunch of people, it'd be really great. What I found a little bit compelling was that it might be nice to have of those candidates that have served before, Dustin's experience as an actual planner, as opposed to, you know, the variety of people that we already have on the planning commission. So that's one thing that I guess kind of stood out to me of the people that are currently on the advisory committee. But other than that, you know, obviously we're in a situation which is great to be in, which is
very qualified.
Very qualified people that are on the So.
And that's another way of looking at it, Mark. I mean, again, I was looking at the three folks on the advisory committee. I kind of looked at the years of service, but you brought up another reason for trying to differentiate the three.
Yeah, I was looking at the skill set of the existing members, and I don't see somebody there that could bring that sort of idea.
I noticed that, too.
I think they're all good candidates. Those that served on the advisory committee, I mean, the other folks are well-versed and good background, so... You know, I don't think we can lose whoever we choose, and it's really, I guess, the mayor's appointment subject to our ratification. I'm just trying to give you some feedback before you have to make the selection.
I was going to put it to...
Well, that's up to you, too, but yeah, I mean, it's really your choice.
Yeah, I know, but...
I do agree with everybody, including Derek's comments about trying to get diversity and also her comments about new blood. And it would be hard. You know, you need, like, about a 12-sided coin here. At the end of the day, but I do like the fact of the two people, Lee and Bob, that have served previously and have got their feet wet. I would hate to be a planning commissioner cold. I would hate to walk into that. That's a huge job, and I've seen both of them work. They both have been on previous committees for the city, the business license tax force, and so forth. I think that both Lee and Bob have done a wonderful job. I guess my preference would be for Bob. I've seen him work, and I think he's been a very fair, conscientious individual.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank
you. Good luck.
Yeah, and with that, we'll think about this until this evening, and hope inspiration comes.
We'll probably look for some initial direction, and then we can probably, you know, hopefully we've given you enough feedback.
Right. Okay, this is one that we wish you could use everyone. With that, we need to go get our missing council person.
In right there.
Derek, thanks for your
thank you for coming.
That was helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet.
Right.
She took herself off.
Oh, she was all over.
Oh.
She was a prince. Yeah.
She was almost like I was all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. She ended up the last was the principal of wasn't she at Newport High?
Newport High, one school in Lincoln City. She was all over. Yeah.
And in administration too, right?
Did
he hide completely?
I told him he's the next applicant.
Is he dragging his feet?
He's on his
way. He couldn't decide if we selected him. He'll have to leave the council.
Well, hey, if we can do that with Ted, I guess we can do that with you know.
We could pull a fast one on Ted, didn't we, way back?
Well, we'll just start without him. He can come in. The next is... the discussion on the priorities for city manager during the next 6 months and the city manager's role at city council meetings. And I think that is you.
Okay. Sounds familiar to me. Anyway, I have spent the first part of my time here in Newport really trying to understand how things have functioned, what has worked, what hasn't worked, in an effort to carve out the role I can best play to move Newport, continue moving Newport in a forward direction. And I appreciate everyone's time that sat down and chatted with me. We think we probably averaged 2 hour conversations with the various council members, and Laura's the last one I've got to get. We're going to do that.
I have an appointment for you tomorrow.
Okay. And so we that will complete my discussions with the council members. I've been doing the same sort of discussion with department heads, sitting down with them, talking to them about what they see as organizational issues and departmental issues, to try to better brief myself on that. And also the meeting with individual employees as time has permitted in between. So that's my first couple weeks on the job have been lots of discussions with lots of different people to try to get the lay of the land and chart a path we're going forward. A few observations. First of all, I think the city has really professional group staff people within this organization. I think they're folks that are trying to do the best job they can for the citizens of Newport, and that's certainly a major asset. Also, I've been impressed with the level of commitment that all of you put towards your positions as elected representatives of the community. I think everyone is very committed to really providing the best services that you can to the citizens of Newport within the limitations that are out there for doing that. I think observation I've seen, and it's been reflected in the number of conversations I've had both with department heads and with city council members, is there has been kind of a lack of transparent central coordination of issues within the organization. As a city manager, that's something that is a bit of a concern on my part that I think can and should be addressed. There's a perception also that the city has no comprehensive overall long-term vision. Although it's been noted there's many specific efforts in place for various aspects of the community to move that community forward. So it's kind of a little blend on that particular issue. There's some perceptions of inequality in the way different departments have been treated in the past. And I think that kind of relates back to kind of the central coordination of departments. We've also had quite a history of litigation on employee matters in the city's past, and that's obviously something of some concern. There are a number of departmental issues that will require my attention, including working through the arrangements with the city attorney and the consulting attorneys, completing the process of hiring a competent finance director, and implementing consistent policies and financial reporting for that department, and addressing the airport management issues. Those are some of the big issues that I've heard repeatedly from different people I've talked to. Also, I've indicated that I think there could be a better structure for city council meetings, and that's one of the things I want to talk about in a little more detail after I share these summary thoughts with you. And then I heard from city council members that once in a while you're kind of surprised by something popping up on the council agenda, and that having some predictability and some advanced knowledge on some of these things would be important things to some of you. I think in looking at the priorities, during the discussions that I've held so far, five of you indicated that hiring a competent finance director is really one of the highest priorities that you see, and that we've bumped that up to 6 now.
Yes, definitely. High on my list.
And I joked with Bob at our staff meeting earlier today. I said, I wrote it that way, but I said, it's not implying, Bob, that you aren't competent. But Bob has indicated that he'll give us the next 2 years of his life, and we'll work our way through things. So.
But, next 2 years?
No.
Shine right here.
Yeah. So anyway, Bob's a real asset to this community, and we're fortunate to have him in the circumstances that we're dealing with. And so we really appreciate your efforts. I think timing-wise, I was going to outline this to you tonight, but did go through interviews of two candidates for the finance director's position. It was our consensus that we wanted to look at some additional candidates before we make a decision on that, so we're going to re-advertise that position. I think it's really a critical position for this community, and I think we need to be very confident and comfortable with the, who can fill this position. Bob has graciously indicated that he will stay with us for a reasonable period of time. We haven't defined reasonable yet. I've been certainly spending a lot of quality time with Bob, and Bob is spending quality time with me, and so that's clearly a priority. I think the next thing that popped up in a number of conversations, and the council will be dealing with this tonight, is evaluating the recommendations from the Infrastructure Task Force. I see that fitting very nicely into the budgeting process, because we have to have some confidence in our numbers in order to really kind of provide from a staff standpoint, or at least from my specific standpoint, some specific feedback about how these items can be implemented going forward. Infrastructure is critical for the city, and it's going to cost money. In order to do that, we need to figure out what the best way of going forward with that project is. And I think the recommendations from the Infrastructure Committee are a good basis for structuring that discussion coming up into this budget process. Other thing that was mentioned by a couple council members was improving the city budget process, and that's obviously a high priority.
My vote on that.
On my list, up to three on that one. So, and then the other issue that was raised out is sorting out the airport management structure and evaluate the 139 impact on the airport. And so in looking at the top four evaluations for the next 6 months, in my mind, those are really kind of the four issues that I think are important goals for me going forward in this position. And I think the other ideas that are listed here are obviously things that I'm going to be doing as time goes on as well. But I think it was helpful for me to sit down with all of you to hear your specific issues of what our priorities and I think those top four issues are really the things that I really need to spend a fair amount of time on during the next 6 months. And I think you'll see, certainly from a budget standpoint, some significant changes in the way budget is put together this year. I think the other part that we'll roll into here is talking a little bit about, for me, I need to have a clear understanding of the expectations that you as a city council have for the role that I'll be playing in council meetings, we'll get into that in a little more detail in the next report. But I guess at this point, I'd be curious to know whether or not I missed the mark on the top four goals here that you want me to focus on, or if this seems like a good marching orders from this point on.
Spencer, I'd just like to add one thing, too. Under the comments from council members, where you have organizational strength, I'm just going back to what I spoke to you about. You do mention the bullet point, the police does a good job in providing protective services for the community. I also mentioned the fire department to you, so I think that should be noted as well. They both provide good protective services.
I was not...
And it's not because Phil's here. I was going to say it anyway.
No, I'm not quite the note taker that who does the planning commission minutes.
Hey, Wanda.
I'm not a Wanda.
But anyways, yeah. I just wanted to know.
So I was capturing the essence of what you're saying.
I didn't want to leave the fire department.
Yeah. Other thoughts on, is this the right emphasis for my first month on the job?
Well, it is for me.
It is for me.
I think we dumped enough on you.
Right.
You hit on what I primarily focused on.
Right, yeah. Yep. And excellent report. I mean, was sort of unnerving to see your words in print. Oh my gosh, I have to own up to them.
Well, I'm particularly glad that you opened up with your session stating that it averaged 2 hours per city council.
Right.
How much did you get?
By the time I got done, I was worried maybe I was going to be on the top of the list. Yeah. I should have known that I would just come in at average.
Yeah. This group,
I would like
yes.
to ask you something.
I was less than average. Maybe I was talk better.
We ordered out for dinner afterwards.
Some people brought the average up, some brought it down a little bit. But
did you find much of a dichotomy between us, or were we all pretty much?
I think in the basic issues, I think there's pretty clear consensus of what the priorities are. And from my observations, again, the thing I keep on cautioning everyone about is, you know, my observations are based on now 3 weeks of employment scattered, the holidays filled in between. So I certainly am not an expert about Newport, Oregon, but based on what I've seen, I think I'm in concurrence with this is where I need to be spending my time. And so I think there's, and I think from a department standpoint, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference there. So it's nice to know that that generally I think folks are identifying the same issues that you want me to spend time on. And as time goes on, you know, we will certainly identify other things as we go through a goal setting session and you know, for more long term. But I feel very comfortable with the conversation.
Just real quick, Ralph, he hasn't talked to Laura yet, so there might be a dichotomy.
Oh, there definitely is. That news for you.
We expect it.
Pardon?
We expect it.
So, Spencer, I mean, the finance director position obviously is important, but the next two bullet points tie into that. So I guess, do you feel comfortable for the next budget process, which is starting probably right now, you know, through, you know, the end of the fiscal year, that with the time that Bob's going to be available and with, you know, your relative, you know, you're relatively new to the process itself. You haven't worked with a budget committee before. I mean, it's a little different in Michigan, that those next two bullet points, incorporating the infrastructure task force recommendations and the budget process, that will be accomplished, and you feel comfortable about that even without a finance director on board.
In fact, right now I feel probably more comfortable about it due to the timing of the situation with Bob being here than having someone new,
right?
You know, yeah. A month or two into the right. Because mm-hmm. we are diving into the budget process.
So that gets my next question. When you say you expect Bob to be here a reasonable period of time, we're probably anticipating, I'm not speaking for Bob, maybe through the budget process and through the development of the proposed budget and the adoption of the budget?
I'm guessing, timing-wise, it's going to take up a fair amount of that time. So.
Well, anyways.
We're not talking about
it. We haven't worked it out yet.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm kind of getting at. Because
can you find me a house that's got a fenced yard?
You see, the reason I brought up is
that's been my basic problem all ever since I've been here back in August, is finding a reasonably priced house with a fenced yard. Because I got a dog and I don't want that dog out getting harmed.
Okay, y'all have your wonders.
That gets to my point.
I can rent her 30 days notice by law, but I got a fenced yard as a rental.
I agree. I want Bob here through this budget process. And that's why I was getting to my question is, the finance director position is important, but we're talking about getting through the budget process and having Bob available, and that budget process is going to take 4 to 6 months.
Yeah. And you can ask for anything beyond a fenced yard. We want you to get that.
I just brought it up for that reason.
No, and it's a good... Yeah. Let's go ahead, Bob.
One of the issues is that I need to have my wife with me.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyways.
So that's one of the overall basic issues, and that's why I do my commuting, basically.
How big is your dog? How big a dog?
Well, she
oh, yeah, 20, not...
About 21 inches.
So here's my next question.
He's 21 inches. Okay.
What breed?
What breed? Oh, this is a cross between a blue heeler and a border collie.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, that'd be a good dog.
Yeah.
So my next question, Spencer, is when we entered into the contractual agreement with Bob for contract services, it was only for purposes of probably through the end of November, which is far gone, and on an hourly basis under certain parameters. Given the fact we're not hiring a new finance director anytime soon, and we're going to need Bob for the budget process, and he probably needs to make more permanent accommodations here in Newport to help you in that budget process, maybe you need to take a look at that agreement we entered into with Bob and see if it needs to be adjusted or revised given the current circumstances.
Yeah, it does need to be
or improved.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm just pointing out because I don't want to leave that contract sitting there, right, especially since the scope of work that Bob is undertaking has changed dramatically since we entered into the agreement with him.
No, it definitely needs to be addressed. I think that from the standpoint of going forward, as far as the level of confidence I have with the budgeting process, you know, Bob is a he's been a great tutor for me, trying to get me up to speed with the Oregon municipal budgeting requirements. I think from a budgeting standpoint, I'm very confident that I understand budgeting as a process, and Bob can reflect on that a little bit too. I think together we're going to have a good process. So I'm confident we are going to work our way through, but we'll have to deal with the issues of having Bob here for a little extended period.
Well, the housing issue, I think, should be seriously addressed. Just very seriously addressed.
Pardon?
I think the housing issue for you should be seriously addressed. I mean, he's going above and beyond, and we need to back him up.
And I mean, the reason why I bring this up is Bob's position and Bob being here is important, not only because we need a good finance director, but it addresses two of our other big bullet points, which is the budget process itself and the infrastructure task force issue. So it's really kind of combining all those top priorities into one.
It's clear that whole series is closely related, and so that certainly is a priority to work those things out.
And I'm not leaving the airport out, but Bob probably isn't necessarily as critical to the airport issue that we're talking about as the first two bullet points. So.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the structure, and I appreciate the comments on the contract, because that's something that in my 2 weeks of talking to people, I haven't had a chance to really weigh into that, but we'll get involved with that now that we know we're in the capacity that we are. Yeah. Also, Bob was part of our interview panels, so we appreciated his comments on the candidates, and so I'm confident we'll be able to work our way through this issue. Any other thoughts, comments, questions on the goals?
No.
The next item is in my second memo, and talking about the role that the council wants me to play at the city council meetings. As I've indicated in this memo, I've had the experience of one city council meeting, but I did read a lot about council meetings from the various people in the room here and others in understanding what was going on in Newport as I applied for this position. Again, I've got specific thoughts and ideas that I've outlined here. But again, I qualify my opinion based on the fact that I've attended one council meeting. So I want to make sure everyone understands that I'm not an expert about the city of Newport council meeting history. But typically, as I indicated in this memo, the role that I've played at council meetings has been direct and involved with the issues, and typically, what would happen is any item that was on the regular agenda, not on the, we call the consent agenda, and you call it consent calendar, but the other items, basically the mayor would ask the city clerk to identify what the next item was, and then the mayor would recognize me. I'd give a summary of that item with a specific recommendation, and then at that point the mayor would call on the council members to discuss the individual items. I think it provided a pretty clean structure to the meetings, Where an issue required direct department head role in the presentation, I'd have the department heads provide a specific report to the council when that was necessary. And of course, department heads would be at the meeting if there was an agenda item that they were responsible for as part of the regular protocol. But that's basically the process that I've been used to as a city manager. I think it does provide some order and structure to the meeting that I think could be positive here. But clearly, I need to understand what your expectations are for me at the city council meetings. I think the other items that I discussed here too is one of the things that again, this is a city manager perspective. But one of the things that's always I think a potential dangerous issue is when items pop up on an agenda, they're acted upon, and there's never really been any time to think about those particular items. And basically, the processes that I've seen in other places and the process that we had in my previous community would require that the council, by unanimous vote, allow something to be added to an agenda, otherwise it went on the next meeting's agenda. It's just some food for thought as far as structure goes, but oftentimes something sounds like a good idea until if you take action on it, you might find out that maybe it was better to hold off on doing that. And again, if there's some desire to discuss it, some structure to the meetings, Rob wants to make certain changes to the council rules, and there could be a couple other things that we could look at and bring back to the council for your review as far as that kind of potential structure would go. The other comments I had and again, this is all a preference of the council. Oftentimes, I've seen a scenario where work sessions were used to discuss items like we're doing today, but no action would be taken at those work sessions. That would be at the evening meeting when people that were attending that meeting could do that. Could be a potential change that you might want to consider here. Public hearings, you had certainly a less exciting public hearing than the previous public hearing while I was there, but certainly had a lot of people that had a lot to say about the various issues. One of the things that occurred at that public hearing, and again, this is up to the council as far as the protocol that you want to use, there were some question and answers and other things that occurred during that public hearing. Sometimes I've seen, and it's worked well, that those questions and answers are held after everyone's had a chance to comment, and that may be something that you might want to think about going forward. And then the last thing I already covered here was not rushing to take actions on items that haven't been fully vetted by the city council and by staff. But those are some general observations that I've had in kind of reviewing past meetings and having discussions with all with most of you, and those were just a few observations that I had that I wanted to talk to you about today to see if there's both on the role that I play and potentially looking at perhaps a couple other changes to the organizational rules of the council, if that's something that's of interest to the council.
I'd like to go first, since I want to get much better at running at another much, much better at the meetings. And so this is for just the nuts and bolts of doing it. This is in here. You have if the council member would like to ask a department head a specific question again, that it be directed to the city manager. And that, from my experience, hasn't happened because we haven't had we won't go there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I would like to do that, and that's what I have been used to in boards in the past. And then you usually call up the department head that they need. That, and of course, after you have said, then you can say to me, yes, you can ask him directly. But then it keeps it neater.
There's a little more structure to it.
Right.
City, being a city manager, it has its challenges, and one of the challenges is really, you know, being an effective, you know, connection between the council and departmental staff for issues that are being dealt with, and it just provides a bit of structure to that process. And it's not certainly in any way any attempt to allow council members to ask questions of department heads at council meetings, but it just provides a little more formal structure to the process.
Right. Go ahead.
Are you still going?
Well, yeah, I had one more.
Go ahead and then I'll.
Okay, remember. It's really quick.
I won't forget.
No. Okay, another one that we have been doing, and again, I need some help as a mayor. I want to thank you all for helping me on this, is that you all will put your hand up like this, or if I don't notice you, David, you'll say Sandy or something to get my attention. If you would just continue to do that, and if I don't notice, Laura has many times on my right hit me in the side and said, well,
that's why she's
Dean
there.
Would like
that's
to
right.
say something. Yeah, right.
One more.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I guess if you would continue to do that and make it even more obvious, it helps me out. Go ahead.
I think all of Spencer's suggestions are good ones, and I think probably most of us would support them all. I think in fairness to us and to Sandy and to our librarian who got thrown under the bus for
right,
a few months,
right.
I don't think we really have been quite as loose as it might looks like. Mm-hmm. I think theoretically in the past
it was a lot worse.
I think theoretically, prior to things degenerating with our past city manager, I think we were a little bit more organized, a little bit better.
Right.
And then things kind of went downhill. And I really think that all you're doing is saying, tighten up to what we should have been doing.
Right.
All the time.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't know how the other people feel, but I think that pretty much he's saying, Here's a good way you ought to be doing it. He didn't quite see it. Yes, I agree.
So my observation. So when I first was on the council 12 years ago, what was that?
Who is that?
That's the tsunami alert. Let's go.
We're gone.
We're done. We might as well. We got 10
away.
Minutes.
You guys are in charge.
Yeah. We're here in the EOC.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Until the radio goes off, I'm not really worried. When it goes off, then I'm going to sweat.
Anyway, so that it was more formal. We directed our questions to the city manager. I'm speaking about Sam Sasaki, and Sam would then call up a department head if he wanted clarification.
Oh, I didn't know. That's way past my time.
But that was a more formalist process. Jim actually was more informal. He allowed us to ask questions directly of the department head. So I guess in my view, it doesn't matter who I ask the question of. If I ask it of you and you can answer it, fine. If you have to defer to the department head, that's fine. I guess what works for you is what really is all that matters. As long as we get our questions answered or addressed, whatever process works for you and Sandy as the presiding officer, I'm fine with. I just want to make sure everyone's comfortable with it.
Okay.
So I guess I'd like to say, does seem like it's been a particularly challenging time here recently, and relative to your leadership, Sandy, it's sort of like re-engaging our basic set of rules, because otherwise, if we don't have an agreed upon set of how we're going to operate,
you're
just left on your own.
Right.
You know, so I know one of the things I liked in particular in meeting with Spencer was getting back to this idea. I see, well, first of all, everything I've ever done in government, there's generally been somebody who introduces the topic and then recognizes where the expert might be.
Right.
And we have two situations. One is where invariably there are going to be questions that come up where a counselor thinks of something, maybe they weren't even thinking about it before the meeting started, and they want to find out from the department head. The other one is where you know, just based on the agenda item, that 90% of the talking is going to be from that department head. because we're going to really be digging into the details on something. In those cases, though, it's still very beneficial to have the city manager give kind of an introduction of where we're going, because otherwise it's kind of like, okay, where does that go?
That's true.
What, you know, what's even the topic? Where are we trying to get? That sort of thing. So I really think this will give us an opportunity to sort of reset 2014 for a more orderly and hopefully a little less time and triple meetings in December and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Well,
the other thing I want to share too while I'm at it is, Spencer, I very much appreciate the way you presented the idea that you've practiced a certain model for a number of years, and obviously you're going to work with that model, and yet Newport is a very different place. I really like the way you sort of incorporated into your own thinking that, you know, there might have to be little adjustments here and there based on the craziness that's Newport. But other than that, you know, because some people will come into a position like this and they only know one way to do things, and that's probably not going to work here. So that was very, very much appreciated, your openness to that.
Well, I just wanted to, when I first came on council, I was startled by how loose everything was, the lack of formality in the meetings and stuff. And I just went with it because things are done differently everywhere. But I think, Sandy, you really got us put together far more than everything was before I got on council. And I really admire what you've done. You got our meetings down to nothing, and you hung in there with this loosey-goosey business that we've had with city managers, and which was a huge hurdle to overcome. So you've done well.
Well, thank you, but it's you guys. I mean, let's not all pat each other on the back here, but it's really true.
It's a team effort.
In all fairness, and I'm going to go back to prior council. I think when Mark McConnell started as mayor, we started improving on the formality and the procedural aspects, and that kind of
it just built upon
it when Sandy became mayor. So I would, you know, I'm not going to leave Mark McConnell off this. From my experience, Mark McConnell, you know, we might have differences on issues, but I think Mark did a nice job as mayor in moving us forward procedurally, and Sandy kind of took that over.
You're absolutely right. So I just want to give kudos to the races.
And let me say one more thing, then I'll get you to. You had your hand up.
You can do him on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, blind. Laura, where were you? You should have said.
Well, I just thought he was looking at his arm.
Okay, well, that's that blind spot. There's one thing that it has kept coming up to me outside of meetings, and I hear it all the time when I don't wear my bag over my head when I go shopping at midnight, and that is the three-minute rule. Our meetings do go way too long. I think with what you have suggested, that will be tightened up, but I would like to use, and I can't use Laura every time, as my three-minute rule.
Why not?
I'm boxing that works.
And with Peggy, I think this is just a logistics part of it. I just think the way the clock is, it's beautiful. I mean, it shows them seconds and all that down. But when she's listening and taking notes, it's very hard for her if she's in the middle of the word and trying to get this down. And it goes down. It's hard for you to do.
Sometimes it is difficult because I will be absorbed in a thought or something,
Is there a way to move the timer? Could we do it? One of us could use it.
I can see if we can move the timer, or maybe Spencer wants to do it.
I'm not a good timer.
I wouldn't mind doing it, but it's just physically, can that happen?
It is hardwired into that entire system. That part is the computer.
Yeah.
And I think it would be hard unless we had them come out here, and that might be very costly, but we can
do it. So you want someone to kind of help you with the timing?
Well, I just think it helps all of us.
So I speak up and say, take 3 minutes.
My suggestion is whoever we select as council president tonight, maybe they can take on that role.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Let's just do that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Whoever that is.
Okay. Like, Councillor Beamer said, if somebody just reminds me, I might not respond the first instant I get there.
No, but I just noticed it would drive me nuts if I were trying to do that. And and then have to do that. It splits your brain in ways.
Yeah.
It's not
I
right.
I can do it, trust me. I don't need a reminder.
That kind of is the role of the president.
Okay, he has...
Raise my hand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yes, Ralph.
I just wanted to go back and clarify something you said about what we do in work sessions versus formal sessions. So you're recommending we don't take any formal action in the work sessions at all?
That's my recommendation. Okay. I think those should be held for the regular meetings. But I think typically those items aren't going to suffer by waiting.
No,
you know,
I just want to make sure.
I don't think we've ever done that. Only time we do it is when we actually call a special meeting outside the scope of a regular meeting schedule. Then we take action. So I think what you're suggesting, Spencer, is something we've always done, is we never take action at work sessions. The only time is when it's a special meeting separate from our regular meeting schedule.
It seems to me, I hate to do that and engrave it in stone and say, no, we never, 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 it's against the rules, we're not going to do it. It seems like we have taken some actions at work sessions.
On less than formal issues, probably.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like you've got to define what a formal issue is, mm-hmm. but... I'm willing to support that idea as in general. I don't want to have it engraved in stone and say, no, we can't make that decision because this is a work session.
Okay, here's what it says in our current council rules with respect to work sessions. They can be either a regular, special, or emergency meeting, which is what I just mentioned. And then it says, they're usually to prepare for regular sessions or to allow preliminary discussion on an upcoming council item, which is what we usually do. And then it says the council may take formal action at a work session, but formal action items will not normally be scheduled for work sessions. I think that pretty much encompasses what we do, and it probably encompasses what you're suggesting anyways. Yeah, at least some flexibility.
I agree with that.
I don't think we should change the rule
on
that.
It just says may.
Yeah, may.
But it's discouraged. Yeah.
Right. I think that's not an issue.
I
don't think it's an issue. I mean, it's maybe something you should bring up, but I don't think it's an issue at this point.
I was going to suggest that, of course, you don't always know, but perhaps the only addition would be that if we did contemplate a work session where maybe we purposely have to take an action in order to facilitate what's going to happen that evening, much like we do with regular meetings, we would actually notice in the agenda that an action is expected on that item as opposed to just a discussion.
No, you're supposed to do that anyways, as a matter of
right, but quite often we don't know the detail until we actually get in here in the work session, and it's like it's just one more piece that sort of alerts the public that, you know, here's an opportunity where maybe they should be involved because there might, doesn't say there is going to be an action, but there might be. And of course, that'll require a little more planning on our part. But in general, that's been my observation too, that if we really had contemplated needing to take an action, we called it as a special or an emergency meeting rather than a regular work session.
Dean.
I just had a couple quick things. Yeah. One is, I know we have department heads like Phil that enjoy staying through the whole council meetings.
Right, he does.
But if you have to have another city employee come and talk to us or give us information, mm-hmm. if you can move them further up the food chain on the agenda so they could talk and leave because...
Yeah, well, one of the things that I will take a look at is the agenda structure at some point in the future and bring some thoughts back to the council on that. I think protocol right now, my role is kind of the primary issue, but I think it's certainly fair to talk about the structure of the agenda and see if there's a better way to deal with that. I think the key with an agenda is having some predictability because you've got people that are there for specific reasons.
Exactly.
They want to know when that is. And sometimes the problem with moving something up, if someone says, "Oh, I know how long ago. I don't need to be there till 8 o'clock," and then he moved it up.
Yeah. Right. And, well, I always feel bad when somebody comes and they want to talk about an issue, but you know it's toward the end of the agenda, and they sit there for 4 hours and they talk for 2 minutes.
Right.
You know. Even people from the public.
Yeah. Right. Lorna Davis is one example.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gal does not get on until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. That's her regular schedule.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if we had on the agenda that department heads came first, were always scheduled first, within reason, I would feel better about it. Their time. And I, of course, like public being there too, but I just really think department heads should be honored because they're already putting in a full.
Well, no, they enjoy being here. I'm talking about the employees that.
Well, I'm the general city. Right, but I still think department heads should be.
is filling.
Just real quick,
the second thing that I think that I would like you to look at, it's probably going to be a budgetary issue, is changing the audiovisual for our meetings. I know we rely on the school right now. It's a lot of work for them, and I've seen other city councils, other cities that have
video.
A built-in
video.
System where it's basically idiot-proof, yes. And you don't need the labor-intensive stuff.
Right. David?
Yeah, I just want to, as long as we're talking fundamentals here, as Larry and I and the News Times, and we're sitting in the back of the room many, 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 many times, because there can be such rapid fire and such redefinitions of a concept of where's the meat of this thing going, or what's the direction to staff. Sometimes we look at each other and go, what the hell do they do? And so you can see at the end of the meeting, we have to rush the council before anybody leaves so we can find out what you do or what's your meaning, where's this thing going, where's the momentum, where are the strategic points of analysis on some issues. And you know, you guys know, but you just have this big family discussion, and we don't really understand where things were. I mean, there could be a decision, but a lot of times when we have a structure where you're going through a center point and things are clean and you don't have these spontaneous eruptions of people talking, then we're going to do a better job of telling the public what the heck you guys are up to. And if you look at a lot of other councils, that's just kind of what they do. But here I think the structure that Spencer is setting up is a godsend for me as a reporter.
Okay.
So Spencer, getting back to what we were talking about with the agenda, and you look at the council rules, it actually gives you the ability to arrange the schedule in a way that you find to be most efficient and orderly. The council rules provide guidelines, and that's, I think, what we follow, but you know, the council rules are just that, the guidelines, and I think if you want to clean it up or make it more clear in the council rules, give us a suggestion and we can move forward on it. But I think right now you do have the ability to do what's most efficient.
Now, I have reviewed the rules of the council, and I think generally they're not bad. You know, I think they really cover most scenarios. But my primary goal for today was to get some feedback about the direction that I was looking at. If I'm understanding folks correctly, you're telling me to proceed. In those lines, I'm sure if I proceed in a way that you don't like, you'll let me know that as well. So,
more likely.
but what my plan is based on this discussion today is I plan to bring back a kind of a report, sort of institutionalizing what I think the direction we're going to go in for for the first meeting in. Be at the next January meeting. And that way you can give it some more thought, make sure that I'm on the mark. And so the first meeting that I would really plan on restructuring would be that meeting that follows, the second January meeting. I want to put together a report kind of outlining what the way we're going to proceed, and again, make sure that we're all on the same page. So,
just one thing, you brought up the issue about public hearings, and you probably are aware of this, but you know, under the agenda item of public hearings, there can be very formal public hearings, land use, quasi-judicial, in which you know there's really not a lot of discretion. We have to follow what state law requires as far as who can comment when and where and how we can address those.
Right.
A lot of what you're bringing up is the public hearings that aren't quasi-judicial. They're more getting input and feedback from the public. That's, I think, where we have the most discretion to try and work it in a way that's most efficient. So, you know, just be cognizant. Public hearings means a lot of things.
Sure.
So, you know, and some are more clear than others and some more statutorily based than others.
Nyla? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
When you were talking about the 3-minute rule, were you talking about public testimony?
It would be for us too. I mean, not that we can't. I just think that it would be better to tighten up all the way around. Is that?
Well, my concern is that the public gets up to talk and members of the council who might not agree with or appreciate what's being said start interrupting and arguing with the person who's talking during their 3 minutes.
Right. Oh, okay.
And I'm very troubled by that.
Okay.
I don't recall that happening all that often.
I think that there might be some misconception on that, because I know we've had some public hearings where we've had to, like David just said, that they're narrow in scope, and I think
like
sometimes the public doesn't understand
well,
that.
The Keevan
scope,
brothers
and they want to talk outside of it, and we have to tighten it up and say we can only do this. So I think I agree with Dick. I think that we've done a good job of listening to people. I don't
the only time I remember anybody in the council trying to get some speaking up and was trying to get them on track because they weren't talking about the subject that was very specific. It was outlined by the mayor. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. I don't recall in my...
I just made a statement and you interrupted me and had run off into this whole discussion. And I wasn't even done talking yet. This is a perfect example of exactly what I'm talking
really?
About.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you were done talking. Pardon
Absolutely
me. I thought
not.
You were done speaking.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
When people bring up comments that are not agreed with or appreciated, this kind of stuff happens. I would also say that... it's very hard to get back on track when something like that happens. People's time gets used up by these kinds of debates. And I think that public comment time is a time for the council to listen to the people who have come to provide feedback. That's what it's for. And the council, you know, may not want to pay attention, and no one can make them pay attention, but they could at least provide silence while the person is trying to talk. I have also seen council members address the public like they were children in really disrespectful manners. I remember one particular hearing. There was a circuit court judge in the audience when that was going on, and I just was astonished that that kind of talk was given to the public. I think a lot of times when I come to council meetings, I feel like there's an inside discussion going on between council members and staff. There's acronyms. There's all kinds of technical discussion going on that it would be very hard for a member of the public to follow. And really the council is, I'm sorry to be so critical, but the council is there to serve the public, and the public is not an intruder to be tolerated when the council is trying to carry on its business. I think that things need to be discussed in a way so that anybody could walk in the door and have some hope of understanding what's going on. And when members of the press just commented that it's very hard for them to follow up what's going on sometimes when they're reporting, I think that that's some indication that it's a challenge for folks who aren't up to speed on the stuff that you guys are doing to follow what's going on.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for listening.
Thank you.
So,
sort of a shift. I wanted to follow up on something Dean reminded me of when he said audio and visual. Laura will remember this. Question for Peggy first. The microphones for the individual city councilors, can those be adjusted individually?
Yes.
Because either we should, for some of us, go through a process of doing that, or some of us feel like the mics need to be moved a little closer to us, because I can guarantee you that after a year of serving on the council, everyone knows when I'm about to say something because I have to
right.
shift forward so that I can be...
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I always do this when you do that.
some counselors have voices where they can sit back 6 feet away and the mic brings it up perfectly. And some of
mine needs to be adjusted because my voice is fairly soft, although I can
So if they are individually, it may just be setting up a profile so that when it's turned on, each of us can...
Sometime if you're in there a little bit early, we'll
do that.
We'll do that.
Oh, major performance.
The reason this came up is after that marathon session that we had, Laura and I were busy about, how's your back feeling?
But I will tell you that the microphones, regardless, are very directional.
Yeah.
You do have to get on them.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. David?
Well, just the volume. I'm sorry. Just the volume. Sometimes I can't even hear Derek.
I try it. Tim is the worst. I think he talks to the side sometimes, and I try to turn up the overall volume, but then, and his microphone, but at a point you'll start to hear feedback and
right.
screeching, and so that's when
okay.
essentially all bets are off. So let's just
Good
work
enough.
On it.
David?
So here's a suggestion for public comment, because we're really talking about two different things. We have two periods for public comment, one at the beginning of the meeting and one at the end. We allow 3 minutes per speaker at the beginning, 5 minutes per speaker at the end. I think what you were bringing up, Spencer, is during the process in which someone's providing public comment, during those two periods, let them provide the comment, and then I think if a council member has a question for that speaker, maybe we can ask the mayor if we can address a question to the speaker and they can answer it after they're through speaking. That is separate from the public providing comment during an agenda item on a specific matter. Then it's much more strict as far as what they should be talking about, because it's really pertaining to a specific agenda item. The public comment periods are for issues that are not on the agenda. So there's a difference between when the public provides comment, either during those two periods or during an agenda item. And it's even further more clarified when it's during a formal public hearing. So again, when the public speaks to the council, it depends when they're speaking, what they're speaking on, and at what period of time they're speaking in the meeting. And I think we have to get those differentiated for not only the public's benefit, but for our benefit as well.
Thank you. I was going to say, I would just add to that, David, that regardless of which comment period it is, I think I'm more used to the idea that the person does all of their talking, then if there are no questions, they're done. That 3 minutes gets extended depending on how many questions the counselor may have. So, you know, we need to become better at jotting down a question that we might have for somebody when they're done, rather than interjecting.
Well,
we
can, just on that point too, I was going to, there's a tendency to try to answer, someone during their comments may ask a question, and there's a tendency to try to answer that question. My philosophy on that is you wait until they can ask the questions, you write the questions down, you let them complete their comments, and then respond after them, because then, you know, that way the 3 minutes belongs to them.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said, Spencer. Allow them to speak their 3 minutes and then provide a question to the presiding officer and then ask it. So I wasn't,
right.
That's what exactly what I just said.
So I think that makes a lot of sense to get through the process, and that way you aren't infringing on any time and you're structuring the time appropriately.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock.
Can I ask one more?
Oh, yes, please.
Subject on procedure and protocol, slightly off the subject.
Okay.
What's your policy on contacts with the department managers by the council? Would you like all the questions basically to flow through you?
I think generally, if it's just a straight out basic inquiry, I don't have any problem with contact being made with a department head or an employee. But if you're asking them to do something, I would ask that be funneled to me.
And we have that addressed in the council rules. Maybe we should take a look at that if you want to adjust it, Spencer, to make it more comfortable for you. But that is something we had a lot of discussion about when we put together the council rules 3 years ago. Several of us were on the council at that time. So.
Yeah, and I think you've hired me to do a challenging job. First of all, I have to work for 7 very diverse people. That is fun, but challenging. Secondly, the other thing is, from a departmental standpoint, you've hired me to manage the city, right. And I've got specific charter obligations to do that, and so there has to be some structure in there. But I'm not of the mind that things be so overly structured that if you have a question about a pothole on First Street that you can't, ask Tim. What's the deal with it? Or, are you worried about the pothole or whatever? That's not a problem. But if you're asking for something, where you're asking for the department to do something, I would ask that you funnel those through me.
With that, I would like to continue this discussion if there's more at a later date. If there isn't anything from anyone else, and we meet again at 6:00, in our usual place, I would like to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a motion?
I move that we adjourn our meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none?
22.
Motion passes. What'd you do, Wynn? I thought
you're
you guys were...
I just told him I'd pick him up again.
What?
I thought there was like...